Brent Beard. I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game in T-Town.
Brian, good to be with you. A lot going on. We are a week away from camp, but enjoy media days. Great to see you last week.
Yes, it was.
Always, and so certainly a lot of teams kicking players off, and I'm fascinated by this June Jones stuff that's come up, and to see where that's going to go. So it's very interesting week in the SEC.
Well, it's a lot of comments being made by a lot of different coaches. It seems like, as Steve Spurrier says, it's talking season. A lot of these coaches are talking.
Yeah.
This week and last week.
They are, and they're, some of them are taking a few pot shots at each other, but look, that goes along with it. To me, that's not a big deal. It's a lot less to it than people make it out to be, but ESPN will get folks in, and then they'll get in front of their booster groups and in the media in general, and say some stuff they probably shouldn't have said, and they'll regret later. But he's right. This is the time of year for that.
As we get a little bit closer, I do want to go to fall camp, but I want to go back for just a couple of minutes. What was your take-home message from SEC Media Days? 4 days, madness at the old Winfrey Hotel, but the new Hyatt Regency Hotel. What was it like? What was your take-home message?
I would say it was a lot more peaceful than it normally is. I mean, there wasn't, it was a nuts and bolts week. There wasn't any, Phil Fulmer wasn't being hit with a subpoena, and
wow.
You didn't have Lou Holtz not showing up and instead doing it over a speakerphone. So to me, it was fairly calm. I mean, I got a good bit of stuff out of it that I wanted to get, and we heard about Carl Lawson being lost for Auburn, and you had Kevin Sublin being upset about the being asked repeatedly about Johnny Manziel. But beyond that, and people describe it as crazy and madness and all that. And it's a hectic pace, but it's as well done. Let me tell you, and I've been to the ACC. It's much better the way it's done at the SEC. Probably the most professional and advantageous way of doing it is the way the league does it.
You've got different comments, and I want to go back to the one comment. Bob Stoops is upset with Nick Saban because he made that, said, that game really didn't matter. Try to get the players to buy into Oklahoma. Brent, I go back, and I know Alabama showed some signs early, but preparation phase, preparing for Oklahoma, I think that sometimes is as important as the game. I don't think Alabama was focused in on playing Oklahoma. I was there and had a chance to sort of take it in, and I've talked to players here on the air and off the air. They didn't have an interest in playing Oklahoma. Their sights were winning a national title.
No. And listen, he's right. I mean, and it was a consolation game. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from from Oklahoma. I mean, the truth of the matter is Trevor Knight had a career game. Something similar to what Stephen Garcia had against Alabama in South Carolina again in 2010. And frankly, Oklahoma was a lot better prepared to play in the long run. The Alabama offensive line was abysmal. The secondary was not much better. They weren't able to get a pass rush, which they weren't able to get a pass rush the whole season. There's two ways of looking at this. One, there's no doubt that the Alabama coaching staff should have had them better prepared to play, but you and I both know that the only thing they were really concentrating on was recruiting, and that there was a lot that they probably didn't work on for that game. The Auburn loss and the Oklahoma loss have to be put on the shoulders of the staff in the lack of preparation. But the comment about the game being consolation game, frankly, Ryan, is true. I mean, look, beyond the national championship game, every one of those bowl games are consolation games. It's Sugar Bowl, nice bowl, sure. It's New Orleans, great city, yes. But, all in all, the thing's just what it is. I've said this all along, and thank God we've got a playoff now. that beyond your national championship game, really and truly, if you're honest about it, all these bowls, I'm not going to say they're meaningless because you get 15 days of practice out of it, but above and beyond that, I mean, there's really not that much at stake.
Well, the value of the bowl has went down, Brent. I mean, compared to what it was in the 60s and 70s and even 80s.
There's no question about that. And again, I think the preparation time is good. And it's a nice trip for your players. And I mean, the reality is, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If you're Vanderbilt and you're trying to build a tradition and you want to go to the third or fourth bowl game in a row, it means something. And if you're trying to get in the top 10 and get some momentum, but I mean, frankly, the converse is true. Is that Oklahoma is ranked in pretty much everybody's top five because of the way that they played against Alabama. So, but again, between those two coaches, I'd also like to see over the next 5 years which one is most successful, and I think we know who it's going to be.
As we're talking to Brent Beard right now, lindysports.com. It's 1010XL out of Jacksonville, Florida. CollegeSportsNotebook.com. We continue our conversation talking about the SEC. Let me stop off at Mark Richt's house just for a couple of minutes. He is one of those guys that's quick to kick a lot of players off. I applaud him for having discipline in his program. But looking at Georgia, I picked them to win the SEC East. That was my pick. That was on my ballot. But there continues to be guys that are having behavior trouble there. It's around college football, but it seems like every other day we're hearing a lot about Georgia. Why?
Well, we're hearing Georgia or Texas A&M. The latest one being Jonathan Taylor, the defensive tackle, arrested for the second time this offseason, and this is aggravated assault. It's a felony. And again, we say that's alleged, but the victim was a Georgia student not enrolled in school. And, I mean, I think the reality is, for any of these guys who are having assault on a woman, I think we're seeing the day where you're gone, and Taylor had to be gone. But the problem is, they keep losing defensive players. Josh Harvey Cummins is gone. Trey Matthews is gone. Shaq Wiggins is gone. All these guys have moved on. For one reason or another, and that at some point that really hurts your depth, whether Jeremy Pruitt's there or not. I mean, what can you do when he keeps losing players? And then you've got the same thing with A&M when their defensive lineman, Gavin Stansberry, now he's decided to leave, but he was one of three Aggies arrested on an outstanding warrant. So I imagine they probably encouraged him to go, and then they had another guy, Victor Davis, the defensive back, he's suspended because of shoplifting. So it's not only Georgia, Ryan, but it's also Texas A&M, but both of them have had a really difficult summer.
Number one question in the SEC in fall camp, probably right here in the back door with this quarterback situation, but as we start looking at fall camp questions, less than a week away, a lot of camps are going to be opening up. What's that number one question in the SEC?
In the league overall, I think it would probably have to be the quarterbacks, because you've got a situation where you've got probably half a dozen teams that don't really know yet who their quarterback's going to be. And ironically enough, Ryan, you've got a situation where pretty much all of them are contenders. So that's the thing that, to me, that is so different right now about the league.
And I think you can win with a newcomer. It's a different system. And, you know, I think we got to go back and give some credit. I know this is often overlooked, but we have to go back and give high school coaches credit. These quarterbacks are better prepared than what they were 25, 30 years ago. I mean, they walk into college, maybe it's the 7-on-7 camps, but they're better prepared. And a lot of that's because of the investment the high school coaches are putting into these players.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think that's a good point. That they and especially these quarterbacks who were kind of in these 7-on-7 football, and in these spread formations, They are better prepared, and they can deal with it very quickly and very easily. So I think that's something that that you can see, and you're right. And we've had several national championships over the last half a dozen years. They've won with first year quarterbacks.
Brent, I'm going to put you on the spot. As we get a little bit closer to the season, I'm going to throw out each team as we run through this SEC schedule. Not tonight, just one team. I just want to go to Ole Miss for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Are you believing it? I mean, do you believe 2014 is this Ole Miss year that they've got a chance? Sort of give me your perspective about the Rebels or the Black Bears or the Land Sharks in 2014.
I think Ole Miss will be they'll make a bowl. I think that they could be very good, but yet very good in the Western Division means you're probably in third or fourth place, and that's the reality of it. Could that be one of the top contenders? Yeah, I think that's probably very possible. I mean, Bo Wallace is an average, good quarterback. Laquan Treadwell, I think, is a very good wide receiver. Jeremy Tunsil is from our area. He's a very good offensive lineman. I think where they're probably improved, both Mississippi schools have nine players coming back on defense, and I think that's where the difference is going to be. The Connor kid that Alabama wanted, you got to like him. D.T. Shackelford is wearing Chucky Mullen's jersey number. The Kendiche brothers are good. I mean, there's some components that are there. But, you know, ask me if they're going to beat Alabama, Auburn, and LSU, and my answer would be they will be very fortunate to beat one of them. And they're certainly not going to beat all three of them. So because of that, are they going to they're certainly not going to win the West. They could have a very good year, but beyond that, and I hear what you're saying. You know, could that be your dark horse? Yes, but beyond that, they're not going to win a championship.
Well, and I go to a odds. I'm not a gambler, but I like to watch the odds because I think it tells us something about the game. You look at win totals for 2014. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss sitting there at 7.5. Vegas didn't build those buildings losing money. I promise you.
Oh no, they certainly did not. And Ryan, I don't think we have the time tonight, but some point in the next few weeks, I really would like to take up this situation with that June Jones is proposing. And before people dismiss that with it being in the spring, the thought I had about this, and I say we'll get into it later, I actually think there's some merit to that, and particularly even in your state for a South Alabama or a UAB, if you're playing on in the spring and you pretty well have gotten the attention on you instead of being swallowed up by everybody else in the fall, the point is whether you go to spring or not, for those divisions or the non-Power Fives, you're going to have to do something to survive. This is survival, whether people like it or not. And they're going to have to come up with something pretty radical like that to survive.